this so much isn't part of my homily, but I just want to share that reading from the gospel is very meaningful to me because 2 years ago I was in the Holy Land and in Capernaum and actually was at the place where Jesus would have spoken in the synagogue. And now where Peter's home had been, there's this beautiful church that's shaped like a fishing net. And I got to celebrate Mass on the very remains of the home of Peter, where his mother-in-law was healed by the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are thankful that our Catholic faith is truly a historical faith that has places, times, and circumstances that we celebrate. Now I'll begin the homily. And the title of my homily for this evening is Being Shaped Down Here to Fit Up There. Being shaped down here to fit up there. So there was a New Yorker who drove all the way down to Texas and he collided with a truck that had a horse in a container at the back. Sadly, it was a bad accident, and a few months later, when the New Yorker had returned home, he tried to claim damages on the accident. But the lawyer for the insurance company said to him, "How is it that you can claim now? At the time, you said you were just fine." And he said, "Well, what would you have done if you were in my place?" That there was a Texas Ranger, and he went over to the horse, heard that the horse had a broken leg, and he shot the horse dead. And then he came over to me and asked me, "How are you doing?" And I said, "I'm fine, thank you very much." Well, there are times in our lives when, like this New Yorker, we may deny our suffering because, well, we just don't want to face it. We're afraid what might happen if we name what we are really experiencing and feeling. Often people can live years of their lives where they have suppressed pain in their hearts, but they then come to a place where they have the courage to confront this, maybe for the very first time. And as they do this, although suffering can for many lead to a questioning of God, it can also be the very opportunity where we come to an awareness of God. C.S. Lewis put it this way. He said that pain and suffering is God's megaphone, the way by which God can get our attention. And when this happens, suffering can be transformative in our lives. There was a businessman who had experienced a great difficulty during one of the recent recessions. He'd had a sizable fortune, which he lost, and as a result of this, he had to sell his home and the things that he had that were important to him. But the thing that was most painful during this time of his life was that his wife, whom he loved dearly, died. But he tenaciously held on to his faith. And one day he was out trying to seek employment, and he went by a job site where people were actually building a church. And he saw a stonemason working on a small triangular piece of stone, and he asked, "What are you doing with that?" And he said, "Well, do you look up to the steeple, you'll see that there's a triangle shape up there. So what I'm doing is I am shaping this stone down here so that it will fit up there. I am shaping the stone down here so that it will fit up there." Tears filled this man's eyes as he walked away. For in that moment, he knew that the Lord was speaking to him, that through the pain and suffering that he was experiencing right now, God was shaping him down here so that he would fit up there. It's been said that a clay pot sitting in the sun will always be a clay pot. It has to go through the white heat of the furnace in order to become porcelain. So often, it is through our suffering that we are being shaped down here to fit up there. Some of you might be doing what I'm doing at the moment, which is following along with Father Mike Schmitz as he reads through the Bible in a year. Do you know that this, in the first 17 days of January, was the most listened to podcast on Apple? more than anyone else was listening to the Bible, which is exciting because perhaps we're living at a time where people are aware of the confusion, the difficulty of this pandemic that we are experiencing. And indeed, it can be God's megaphone that allows people to say, I want to hear the voice of God. Well, interestingly, in this reading through the scripture in a year, one of the first books that Father Mike is introduced to us is the book of Job. And through the month of January, he read all the way through the 32 chapters of the book of Job. Sorry, that's 42 chapters. And today, we have a reading from this book. The book of Job is perhaps the most significant book in literature that speaks about the existential pain, that is what we feel in our very bones because of the reality of suffering. And also because suffering often does not make sense. Job's suffering didn't make sense to him. And so what I'd like to do now is I want to take again that passage that Frank read to us from Job chapter 7, and I want to read it to you in a more contemporary kind of paraphrase. Human life is a struggle, isn't it? It's a life sentence to hard labor, like field hands longing for quitting time and working stiffs with nothing to hope for but payday. I'm given a life that meanders and goes nowhere, months of aimlessness, nights of misery. I go to bed and think, how long will it be before I get up? I toss and turn as the night drags on, and I am fed up. I'm covered with maggots and scabs. My skin gets scaly and hard, then it oozes with pus. My days come and go swifter than the clicking of knitting needles. And then the yarn runs out, an unfinished life. I am so glad this is in the Bible, because this is our story. And that's the thing about the biblical story. It is not neat and tidy. It is really messy. Because the Bible is so honest about dealing with the messiness of human suffering. Have you ever felt like Job? Maybe you feel like Job right now, right here in this place, where it seems that in some way the pain that you are going through is a life sentence. And, well, one day life will expire and that will be it. We read earlier in the book of Job that this is a righteous man. So often we think that, well, if you're suffering, it must be because you're getting what you have coming to you. But of course, it is never that simple. It's never that black and white. As Job and his story unfold, there's one personal tragedy after another. His adult children are killed, his land is destroyed, and he experiences a life-altering illness. Everything is taken from him. And then the question is asked, why? And in the long silence, it seems that there is no answer forthcoming for Job's cries. And so we need to think about this a little bit more. And this is where today's gospel comes into play. In the gospel, we hear Jesus go to the home of Simon, and his mother-in-law has been sick with a fever, and he heals her. But we're also told that Jesus performs exorcisms because there are people possessed with demons, people with various illnesses. And I don't know if you've sometimes felt this, but I sometimes read these stories and say, well, in the Gospels, it seems as soon as Jesus shows up, everything's made well. People are healed, demons are exorcised, and mom can get up and serve again. But here's one of the things that I've thought about when I've read the gospel stories. Although we hear about the direct interaction between Jesus and the person at that time, more often than not, we never hear of the person again. We don't know, well, what was it like from that moment on? And I think that we need to realize that the scriptures speak about the reality of Jesus' victory over suffering, death, and the demonic, because he ultimately is the Lord of everything. But as we continue to live in this world, as we live with the Gospels, as we live with the book of Job, as we live with our own stories, we can feel like the songwriter Sarah Groves, where she sings a song about how life is filled with patches of joy and stretches of sorrow. Patches of joy and stretches of sorrow. Now again, think of the Gospels. Is this not true of the Gospel of Jesus Christ? There are patches of joy, but there are stretches of sorrow. For indeed, the part of the Gospel that is most developed is the sorrow of Jesus, his passion, his death, his resurrection, of course, and ascension. And so what I want to say to you this evening is that you might be wondering, why is it so hard? Why is the pain seemingly so relentless? And to answer this question, I want to paraphrase something that the Catechism says to us in paragraph 1505. And this is what the Catechism says in trying to answer this question of suffering. Jesus does come into the world to heal. And he does show his power over sickness and suffering so that the miracles in the New Testament really happened. And most especially the miracle of the resurrection. But his mission, his vocation from God the Father was not to heal every sickness. Indeed, not every person who was alive when Jesus was here 2,000 years ago was healed. It was still the exception, not the norm. And the healings that we read, like today's from the Gospel of St. Mark, are signs of the kingdom of God. That this kingdom ultimately comes through Christ's suffering and his death. And by his death, we understand that death is undone. But now, we do recognize that sickness, suffering, even demonic influence and even possession are things that people experience. But here's the point, that because of our Catholic faith, our suffering, our illnesses, are all joined to the story of Job. Oh, and by the way, Job is a type of Christ. He anticipates Jesus. And when we understand this more fully, when we see everything in light of the death and resurrection of Christ, we do believe that, yes, there will be ultimate healing in the future, even if our suffering in the present at the moment leads us through this valley of tears, that we have the taste of drudgery and misery, and at times we can and do feel overwhelmed. It has almost been a year since COVID. I remember it vividly. The first online mass I said was the 17th of March. It was the feast day of St. Patrick. And this is weighing heavily on all of us. But we have a context for this kind of suffering that is based on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because of Jesus, we supremely celebrate that he does have the ultimate victory, that he is the divine physician who one day will completely heal us. May we remember that a clay pot sitting in the sun will always remain a clay pot. It has to go through the white heat of the furnace to become porcelain. And the more we can discover this perspective in our lives, we will discover that suffering, although incredibly painful, is allowed by God because he's shaping us down here so that we will fit up there.